chronic care, which is what I need, to dramatize this difference and how it implicates those people with chronic care needs. Let me talk about Medicare up close. This is a hypothetical story, it's not the truth. I have liver cancer, and what's good about liver cancer is I have good news about liver cancer, because Medicare will spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps, on my liver cancer. Yes, I'm going to have to pay for my TV and my telephone, but what will I get? I'll get a room, New York Hospital, New York Presbyterian Hospital, a room with a view. I'll wave to my friends in Long Island City. I'll wave to my friends in Astoria. I'm going to get a semi-private room. I'm going to get my meals. I'm going to get my radiation, my chemotherapy, and maybe a new liver. And if I'm in the hospital for more than 3 days, I'll be entitled to up to 100 days in a so-called skilled nursing facility where they will monitor my wound and where they will give me some rehabilitation. And then they'll send me home and I'll get an aid 2 or 3 times a week for 5, 10, 15 weeks. The good news is Medicare is going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on my liver. What's the bad news? The bad news is I have Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, MS, MT. The alphabet soup of diseases, chronological diseases, diseases requiring chronic assistance. What will I get from the Medicare program? Hundreds of thousands of dollars for my liver. How much for my Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, etc.? Do you know? I'll tell you. Nothing.
Nothing.
Hundreds and thousands of dollars for my Medicare needs, my acute care needs. Nothing for my chronic care needs. Why not? Back in 1966, when Congress created the Medicare and Medicaid programs, no one had ever heard of Alzheimer's, no less knew how to spell it. Yes, we did have Lou Gehrig's disease, is that ALS, I think that's what it was. We did have Parkinson's disease. But we were, as a population, not living as long as we're living now. And with our old age comes these higher incidence of Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, etc. So we are out, for most of us, privately paying out of our pockets for nursing home or home care. Long-term care insurance doesn't work. It helps sometimes, but basically it's too expensive for most of us to even try. Medicare doesn't work because we're not looking for acute care. We're not looking for surgery, etc. We're looking for assistance in the activities of daily living. So, where ultimately can we go? Our backs are against the wall. We can look to the Medicaid program. What's Medicaid? Medicaid is health insurance. If you don't have acute care health insurance like Medicare or other private insurance, well, it's not private, but you pay for it. If we don't have private insurance to pay for doctors and hospital, we can look to the Medicaid program to pay for doctors and hospitals. But Medicaid will also pay for long-term care, pay for nursing home care, home care, daycare, assisted living, durable medical equipment. But there's a problem. You have to be poor to be eligible for Medicaid. Do we agree?
Another question. Medicaid is also available if you're unemployed and don't have any income?
Yes, and it's also available if you're Medicaid. Yes, but we're not talking about that kind of Medicaid. We're not talking about that kind of Medicaid. We're talking about basically, we're looking for chronic care. Mm-hmm. We're looking for chronic care. We need home Medicaid. We want to get nursing home care, home care, daycare, assisted living. We're not looking for just medical insurance.
Okay.
I think that's the best way to describe the difference. Yes?
Is Medicaid based on how much savings or money you have?
Yes.
And what is
Medicaid is based on how much savings you have and how much income you have.
Right. And what, do you know how much that is?
Let me give it to you in terms of an anecdote that I'm going to relate right away. Almost every day we get a call or calls from the daughter. It's usually the daughter who's inquiring about her mother's eligibility for home care. Daughter says to me, Mr. Petrov, at the discharge, my mother's in the hospital. She's going to be discharged tomorrow. She's going to need round-the-clock care at home. It's going to cost $100 a day or $3,000 a month. And they tell me at the hospital discharge planning office, this is the daughter speaking, that my mother could qualify for Medicaid if her income and savings were below a certain amount of money. But it seems my mother's income and my mother's savings exceed the Medicaid limit. But nevertheless, isn't there a way we can stretch my mother's dollars? And I said, perhaps we can stretch your mother's dollars. Tell me what your mother's financial situation is. She said, well, my mother has $1,000 a month in income and $1,000 in rent. $1,000 in income and $1,000 in rent. How does your mother manage? How does she pay the telephone bill, the cable bill? How does she eat on $1,000 Social Security and pension that comes in and the $1,000 that goes out? Oh, the daughter says, my mother has $60,000 in savings. She has $60,000 in savings. She uses her income to pay the rent, and she dips into her savings, her $60,000, to pay all her other bills. She dips into her savings to pay all her other bills. But Mr. Petrov, if my mother has to pay at the rate of $100 a day, $3,000 a month for long-term care at home, she's going to spend down her lifetime savings. She will have ultimately nothing. She'll have income of $1,000. She'll have an expenditure, the rent of $1,000. But she won't be viable, and I, her daughter, cannot afford to pay for her care in the community. Is there some way to stretch my mother's savings and income and make her eligible long-term for home care? And I say, perhaps we can do that. To be eligible, let me stand up because I'm more comfortable here standing. To be eligible for Medicaid in the community, mother can't have more than $14,850 in savings. She can't have more than $14,850 in savings. And her income cannot exceed $850 a month income. Well, Mr. Petrov, as you just heard, my mother's savings amount to $60,000, and her income is $1,000. So, obviously, she's not Medicaid eligible. And I say to her daughter, we're going to make your mother eligible. She said, how? Well, we're going to set aside $14,850 on this side of the room. $14,850 Medicaid allows her to have. It's an exempt fund. Plus, she can pay for her funeral any amount, but let's assume it's roughly $5,000. So she's going to be putting aside $20,000 on this side of the room. On the other side of the room, she's going to give away or transfer $40,000. She's going to transfer her lifetime savings, $20,000 she can keep over here, but she's going to transfer $40,000 to her daughter, Jane. She's going to impoverish herself. This is our client, Mary. Mary is going to impoverish herself by transferring $40,000 to daughter Jane. She's going to be eligible for Medicaid, home care, daycare, assisted living the next month.
Really?
There is no penalty for transferring assets to become eligible for non-institutional Medicaid. Wait a second, Mr. Petro. I heard that a person can't transfer money for 5 years.
Right.
I heard about 3 years. I heard it was 2 years. I heard there was a penalty for transferring assets to become eligible for Medicaid. The rule is there is no penalty for transferring assets to become eligible for non-institutional Medicaid. Yes.
When you say transfer...
Gift away.
So
you can be daughter Jane.
I have $60,000 and say I'm going to write a check one day for $40,000 to another person.
Okay.
And it's going to go from my account to their account, and that's it?
That's it.
And Medicaid wants proof of what?
Wants to know that you transferred it, but will not in any way hinder your doing this.
Right.
Medicaid will say, madam, that transfer may be a complication should you need nursing home under the Medicaid program, but we will not in any way conspire against your moving $40,000 to your mother.
Is there anyone that will stop it? No?
Nobody's going to stop it. There is no penalty for transferring assets to become eligible for non-institutional, non-nursing home Medicaid.
And it could be a friend. It doesn't have to be a relative.
You can transfer to your son, your daughter, your husband, your wife, and
a friend.
Or a trust.
A friend or a trust? Trust?
Trust. You need to know that transfer could be $40,000, $400,000, $4 million. There's no cap. No cap.
Wasn't it illegal at one time to do that?
You said it'd be 5 years, I think.
Not really. You know, as far back, maybe 15, 20 years, and then the law changed a lot over the last so many years. But basically, it was never illegal to do that. It may not have been available, but not quite illegal. No penalty for transferring assets to become eligible for Medicaid.
But then
in the community, non-institutional. And that's
what
been
is it
the
called,
rule.
Non-institutional?
Non-institutional means it's
at home.
No, it's yes. I'm sorry. At home, home care, daycare, assisted living, durable medical equipment, pharmaceuticals, etc. But not nursing.
Not nursing.
And then that year, the daughter does her taxes.
The daughter gets, you'll be mother.
Right.
Mother gives daughter $40,000. Does daughter have to pay income tax on this $40,000? No.
Really?
It's a gift to daughter, not a taxable income. It's not income to daughter.
It's a gift.
Mother is responsible for this gift. After after mother has given away more than $5 million, mother may have to pay a gift tax. Mother is responsible for the transfer, not daughter.
So you could give a lifetime gift of $5 million, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can do that in 1 year?
Yes. Yeah. You do it in 1 month.
Yeah.
Oh, God. That's yeah. What people probably do.
But most of our people with $1 million in liquid funds are not doing Medicaid.
Paying for the health care.
I'm just curious. Is this federal or is this New York State?
I'm sorry. I'm glad you asked that question. I should have mentioned. Everything we're talking about here is somewhat based on federal law, is somewhat based on state law, is somewhat based even on New York City law. Keep in mind, that we're really talking only about New York.
Okay.
When it boils down, what I'm saying has little application in New Jersey, little application in Connecticut, little application in Florida. This is state-specific language.
Good.
So the $40,000 that I gave to my daughter, I put that as a gift on my tax, right?
I don't even know if you have to put it on your taxes.
I'm afraid of the IRS, so I'm
I don't think there's a place because it's a non-taxable event.
Yeah.
Right. For your daughter.
Right.
Wow. It's a charity category.
That's not a charity. But it's,
no,
your but daughter is not charity.
It's a gift.
I mean, you talked to an accountant about it, basically.
Yeah. I really should know the answer to this question, but my guess is there's no place even on the tax return.
No.
Let me just go on, because we've only done a small portion of this. Keep in mind, we have solved the problem of resources. We simply can transfer it to daughter Jane. That's no longer a stumbling block. But Mary has $1,000 a month in income, and Medicaid says she can only have $850. What can she do? She's not eligible if her income is $1,000 a month. She has several choices. One choice is, and in this scenario, she's going to exercise that choice. She can give away the $150. She can't give it away. She has to give it to the Medicaid program. She's going to give $150 every month into the Medicaid program. But what is she going to get for that $150? Well, in my optimistic hope, she's going to get $100 a day worth of home care, $3,000 a month. She's going to get some daycare, $1,500 a month. She's going to get goods and incidental services. She's going to get a package that may be worth as much as $5,000 a month. It's going to cost her, out of pocket, so to speak, $150, what she's giving into the Medicaid program. Any questions? We can give away as much as we want to daughter Jane. We can solve the resource problem. What about the income? We can give it to Medicaid, $150. But we still have a problem. I almost forgot about it. How does Mary live on $850 a month? Because that's all she's got. She gave away the capital. She gave away the income. What do we do? Daughter Jane. Daughter Jane has mother's $40,000. She can't give mother the money that she's holding, because if she gave mother the money she's holding, she'd be over-incomed or over-resourced and not eligible for Medicaid. But daughter Jane can pay mother's bills. What kinds of bills? All kinds of bills. All kinds of bills. Luxuries and necessities. Only for her. Only for her. She can pay mother's bills, including the rent, credit cards, etc.
Can't she just give her cash? Who's going to know?
She has to account for what daughter has to account for what she's given to mother.
Like if she gives her $200?
No, I'm the mother.
Daughter cannot give...
$200 to her?
Her mother.
She can't?
She cannot.
Cash? Who would know?
She'd have to account for... Medicaid may ask for an accounting.
Really?
Yes.
Of your living costs?
No. Yes. Of how may ask, how does mother live? On $850 a month, when we know, well, the family can say, mother, daughter is helping mother pay the rent. Daughter is helping mother pay the bills. Mm-hmm.
But you can't give her cash.
But she can't give her cash. And Medicaid theoretically maybe doesn't bother, but theoretically will figure it out and make sure that mother is.
What if we don't trust daughter?
Then we have no deal.
What about putting your money in a safe deposit box or something like that?
You'd have to tell Medicaid, perhaps, where it went.
So they monitor everything that the daughter would give the mother?
Yes.
No objection in terms of...
The truth of the matter is, daughter, if she has any, and you'll see it eventually in scenario number 2 and 3, in about 10 minutes, you'll see that this problem doesn't arise, because if mother has a substantial amount of money, if mother has a substantial amount of cash, no, that's not it. If mother has sufficient amount of money to give, no, let me see.
Savings or income?
No, we're talking about income. You're asking, what does she do with income? And does Medicaid look into daughters? They do look into Medicaid's. Medicaid does look into daughters'.
Medicaid home care. So I transfer my savings to a friend.
Yeah, you had to transfer to get Medicaid.
Right, home care. Right. So I do that. And then I get to the point where I'm going to go into the nursing home, and Medicaid is going to look to see when I transferred that, right? I mean, I've been getting home care.
You're going into the nursing home.
Yes.
Yes, it's a new ball game. You got your Medicaid services, and you made a transfer.
Right.
Of so much money. Say you transferred $100,000 to your friend. She's managing your $100,000, and now circumstances have changed, and you're going into the nursing
right.
home. It's a new ball game, because in this instance, Medicaid says, "Oh, you want to transfer from home care to nursing home care? We want to look back
how long?
At your 5-year financial history."
5 years.
5 years. So Medicaid wants to look back 5 years at your financial history to see if you transferred any money. Oh, yeah, you transferred $100,000 to your dear friend. That's a 10-month penalty.
Yeah, right.
So when you're healthy, you should transfer among all your friends so that...
And wait to go to a nursing home for 5 years if you can orchestrate that. However, if you transfer to get Medicaid home care, $100,000 to your dear friend, and she can show that she used that money to take care of you at home, to augment your care at home, if she has proof that you received a portion of that $100,000, that $100,000 will be adjusted. If she can show that she spent $50,000 on you for medical related costs, then you're only straddled with a $50,000
right.
transfer
right.
and a 5-month penalty.
Is a 5-year look back period. At that point,
yes.
You're knocking on the door.
We're looking back 5 years. Mm-hmm. We're not. It's not a 5-year penalty. The penalty depends upon
how much money
you received.
Right.
You received $100,000. You gave away, I'm sorry.
You gave away
$100,000. That is theoretically a 10-month penalty.
And if the person you gave it away to I say I give it away.
To your friend.
To my friend. Now, she needs Medicaid. Is that income to her?
Yeah. You dream up all the most horrible stories.
Well, you have to do this to someone who's younger than you.
Yeah. You have to marry a lawyer.
I think you have to marry a psychiatrist. Don't ask me what you have to do about that $100,000. She could give you back the $100,000. You're then not eligible for Medicaid home care for 1 month. She could give you back the $100,000.
Oh, when she needs Medicaid.
When she needs Medicaid. And she gives it back to you, and you give it to another.
Right.
Thank you.
The point is, she's allowed to give it back to you.
Okay.
Oh.
That's what you're doing. She's giving it back to you. And you're only losing a month of service. We can do it very quickly. She gives you back.
That's for home care.
She gives you back $100,000. You give friend over here $100,000, and we're back to normal.
It feels like you have to come back a couple of times to get it in your head. Where else, I guess, a consultation. It's great. Really good.
Yeah, and sometimes there are really opportunities that don't necessarily, on the face of it, present itself. Opportunities to conserve money.
Well, my family, they live in California, but my mother just went into a nursing home. So I'm going to suggest, that's why I was asking about the states, it wouldn't make sense for my sister to call you. She has to find someone in California, right?
She perhaps needs a lawyer in California and a lawyer in New York. She probably needs both. Because when mother in California transfers away, who is she transferring? Wait.
They're all in California.
No. Everybody's in California except me.
Yeah.
So
it has
California.
To be worked out. There may be some opportunity.
Okay.
Thank you all for
all right.
coming.
Thank
great.
You, Martha.
Thank
great.
You very much.
So interesting.
Yes. Have a cookie before you go.
Thank you so much.
What a wonderful. Delicious. How many calories?
You know, this is only to help people, which is a nice thing. This is like one of those things that only helps people. There's no like downside to this lecture.
That's right.
Which is nice.
How often does that happen in this world?
How often are these lectures given?
Well, we're giving another one in January.
Oh, we are? Okay.
January 20th.
The same topic?
Yeah. Same topic.
Same.
Great.
Thank
you
so much. Thank you.
Same
jokes. Loved it. Loved it. Really nice.
Thank you.
So great.
I wish you all well.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Nina Steele.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I love getting information. So amazing.
You need a lawyer.
But yeah, you're
going to have to. I bought this from Staples. They have a durable power of attorney.
It's interesting.
Is that the most?
I don't know.
Because last time you said 2009 they were changes. And this is what they offered.
Is there a good book or a good reference book that you can, or a website that? Do you have a website? I mean, just other questions come up.
Be very careful. Anybody can get on the web and pose as an expert. Be careful. Yeah. And there are no books like, by and large, because there aren't that many books available because it's state specific and it doesn't pay for a publisher to publish a book for Rhode Island or New York. And each one is different.
It's different, yeah.
The Alzheimer's Association has a booklet on Medicaid and so forth, and you can call them up and see it.